Thank you, worship team. So appreciate your your spirit in worshiping and leading us. It's beautiful. Well, did you get the email this week, the special email? Good, good. Our open rate shot up, going to once a month, so that was a good thing. We have finally set the date for water baptism. I told a couple of people this week, I said, I feel like God has a reoccurring theme in my life right now since 2026 started, and that's delayed answers to prayer or delayed timing in my mind. But it's never so in his timing. You know, his timing is perfect. It's just on my schedule is a little different. So we have the water baptism scheduled for Sunday, August 2nd after service. If you noticed in the email, we're asking all of you who are coming to the water baptism to bring a little sack lunch. Don't go off campus to get lunch. Just bring it with you. Slam a PB&J in the bread, you know, in the sandwich or in the bag, and bring it. That's all. Something simple, and we'll have lunch here together, and then we'll go to Solon Community Center where we'll have a water baptism. It's going to be so good. I hope you're able to make it. Also, today is Next Gen Day. Just to let you know, I think you have some of these available around, but if you don't, Next Gen is our fund that we've set up to help provide funds for our youth and our children to go to camps and on mission trips and even provide curriculum for River Kids and Splash. And we ask everybody to donate 1 hour of wage per month to this special fund, and we just use it when we need it for them. So I hope you're able to participate in that today. Just mark it on your envelope, Next Gen, okay? So we're continuing our message series. Thank you. We're continuing our message series on His Opposite Way. We've been doing it all month, His Opposite Way. And 2 weeks ago, well, if you missed last week, go online and listen. We had four different men share. It was so good, wasn't it? It was so, so good. And they gave testimonies of how God works in an opposite way in their lives. It was excellent, excellent stuff. And then 2 weeks ago, I talked about the power factor, if you remember that. I talked about the power of humility and how opposite that is of our normal way of thinking. If you remember, I talked about seeing God accurately. And the way we see God accurately is to look to Jesus. And then seeing myself accurately. If you see God accurately, seeing yourself accurately is easy. You just ask Him what He says about you. That's all. But you keep Him as the main guy, you know, the main thing, okay? And then submitting to God's way. So I'm not going to go through it, but if you want to listen, go online and listen from 2 weeks ago. Today we're going to continue that message series. Now, go back to the title, if you don't mind, Chris, Kim. I don't know why I said Chris. Chris? Underneath what it says. Somebody tell me how they read that. How do you read that bottom line of words? The what?
Power square factor.
The power square factor. How else? Anybody else? The power to the second power? Mm-hmm. Yep, yep. Those are all true. So today, we're going to talk about... You know, we talked about humility, now we're talking about the power to the second power. The power squared, okay? The power of praise. That's what we're talking about today. The power of praise. I looked up the word praise in the original Greek meaning in the Bible, and it talks about it being applause or commendation or celebrate to show approval, but in our world, if we're talking about praising God, it means to express admiration for perfect attributes. To express admiration. Now, I specifically did not use the word worship, even though we frequently do, because sometimes we put worship in a music box. And I love the music box. I do. I play it all the time at home. You wouldn't believe how much I fill my home with worship in the music box. But you know what? I also fill my home with praise in the verbal box. That's not song, but just telling God how great He is. specifically what I admire about his attributes. Rowan's going to help me preach today. Yeah, you go. You go, buddy. My little grandson over here, 6 months old. So the power of praise is, to me, one of the greatest secrets of the Christian walk. It is absolutely one of the greatest secrets of the Christian walk. It is the thing that will bring maturity in your Christian walk and your understanding of God, maybe more than anything else. Now, I believe in the Word. I believe in reading the Word. But the thing is, when I read the Word, I look for the perfect attributes of God in the Word. That's what I do. So it really goes together. We're going to be in Acts 16 for our passage today, and we're going to be in that for the whole time, Acts 16. But I want to give you a little background on the passage so we don't have to read 42 verses, okay? Although it's good. God had given Paul, the Apostle Paul, a supernatural vision to go to Macedonia. So he and Silas went, and they ended up at this one of the major cities in Macedonia called Philippi. While there, somebody got saved, and they started like a ministry of some prayer and worship and teaching. But this girl who was demon-possessed, but who had the ability to tell fortunes, would follow them around from place to place. And everywhere they would go, she would yell, "These men are servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell you how to be saved." Now, what she said was a good thing, right? You would think that would be like an endorsement. But Paul became very exasperated by her because ultimately what she was doing was drawing attention away from Jesus to herself. Even though she was saying the right thing, she was using the wrong timing. And so Paul's like, "I'm done." So he commanded the demon to come out of her, and the demon left. But because the demon left, she was no longer able to tell fortunes. What does that tell you? The connection there, right? So her bosses, who were making a lot of money off of her telling fortunes, they got mad. And they worked the crowd into a frenzy. They turned it into an anti-Semite thing, if you can believe that. They said, "These Jews are starting trouble in our city." And they lied on them so bad. They said, "They're telling us to do things that are against Roman culture." That wasn't true at all. But that's what they did. So the authorities ordered them stripped, beaten with wooden rods, and thrown into prison. And the jailer was warned not to let them escape. I want you to understand the extent of what they went through. Now, did God tell them to go here? Yes. But this happened? Yes. Just because you obey God doesn't mean you're promised an easy life. Now, I've never been beaten with wooden rods. Hope I never will be. That would be rough, right? But I want us to remember, I heard somebody say a few weeks ago, and I think I might have told you this, the Christian walk in the Bible, the Christian walk is compared to a battle, a race, and childbirth. How did we ever get the idea it was supposed to be easy? None of those are easy. None of those are easy. And I think this is just a good reminder that even though Paul and Silas followed God's direction and went to the place where they were supposed to go, they had some suffering they had to endure. And then the authorities put them in the dungeon and clamped their feet in stocks. Now, I want to understand the beating, first of all. Their backs were definitely, at the very least, lacerated, as well as probably other parts of their body that somebody missed when they were trying to hit with a rod. They could have had broken bones, broken ribs. We don't know. I mean, it's possible. If you get beat with a noodle, probably not, but a wooden rod, it's possible, right? Understand the jailer, I just learned that this week, that the jailer was most likely a retired army captain. Yeah, I don't know why that put a whole different. So basically, he built a career out of learning how to follow orders and how to make life difficult for people who didn't. Okay? That's so interesting to me. Understanding the inner dungeon, it was the lowest level of the jail or whatever, and it was heavily guarded. You had to go through sets of guards to get to it, probably dark and damp. This is another thing I learned this week, understanding the stocks of that day. So whenever I would read this scripture, my whole life I would think of clamps that would go on their ankles and then chain together so they couldn't move easily. No, it was uncovered, and not too long ago, that in antiquity, stocks were where they would put the men on the ground and put their legs on the ground straight out, and then they would drop these steel rods on both sides of their legs several points down. Then they would drop a heavy metal bar on top of their legs at every place where the rods were. So you can imagine you're probably sitting on stone or earth and your legs are immobilized completely. Oh my, can you imagine the cramps and the discomfort and the agony that would set in after not long at all, right? So that's where we pick it up in verse 25. Verse 25, around midnight, Paul and Silas, now wait a minute, around when? Midnight. So more than likely, they've been in those contraptions for probably at the very least 3 hours, maybe longer, already. And they're in total darkness. You'll see that to be proven in a moment. Total darkness, and they're trapped in these places where they can't move their legs at all. And what were they doing? Woe is me. Agony. I'm sick of this. I did what God told me to do, and look what he did to me. Is that what they did? No. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. I want to learn from them because I go through something tough. I had a little illness a couple weeks ago, lasted a few days, and by the third day I was like, oh, I'm tired of this. I can't take it anymore. We're so soft. We're soft. You know, they were praying and singing hymns to God, but I love this part too. And the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All of the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The first point I want to make about the power of praise is that praising God is a decision. It is not a feeling. If they had done what they felt like doing, they would not have been praising. It is a decision. Point under that, number one, when you've been humiliated and suffered injustice, they didn't go around saying, this isn't fair. They were praising God. I'm not saying I always do that. I'm saying I want to learn to do that more. I want to do that more. Number two, when you're bruised, broken, and bloody. Number three, when you're chained in a dark hole. But here's the thing. Here's the thing, okay? Praise is definitely a decision. But the decision is made because God is still God and he's still good no matter what I'm going through. The decision is not made to manipulate an outcome. We can't pull tricks on God like that. And can I say I've tried? I'm not going to lie. If I praise hard enough, or if I praise loud enough, maybe this thing I'm going through will stop. It almost never works like that. My problems don't suddenly go, gone. No. Praise gives you a different perspective on your problem. You can get above it and see it from a different angle, but it's still there. But my focus is no longer on the problem. It's on the problem solver. It's on the perfect one. But praise is definitely a decision, and there's nothing easy about it. There's nothing. I heard this week, this blew my mind. Oh, don't raise your hand and say, that's not me. Okay. The average American right now, the average American spends 47 hours and 6 minutes per week on screen time. I don't know if that includes work or not. My sister said, does that include? I said, I don't know. Gen Z, you got it beat. You're more like 61 hours a week. Oh, that tracks, Isaac said. Listen, if you're going to consume that much screen time, make sure it's about God and His perfection. That's all I ask. I'm not saying turn off everything, because I don't. But I will say there is a great majority of my screen time that is spent on things that will feed my spirit and keep my eyes focused on God. Because that algorithm for you is written with a purpose in mind. The algorithm wants to own you. So you get to decide, am I going to let it or am I not going to let it? And do a little survey on yourself. I don't have to see it. Nobody else has to see it. Go into Instagram on those three dots and ask Instagram what your favorite things are. And it will tell you. And it'll be a little eye-opening. Figure out where your focus is. Because wherever your focus is the direction you're going. That's what happens, okay? They learn that the power of praise is there, and that praising God is a decision. Now, verse 27, the jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted to him, stop! Don't kill yourself. We are all here. That blows my mind, too. Because, baby, if everything fell off and I could get going, I'd be like, see ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. But point B is praising God brings freedom with wisdom. Because there were at least two other times in Scripture that we know of that an angel showed up and their chains fell off and the angel walked them out of the prison. But this time, it didn't happen that way. So listen, I want you to have freedom, but I want you to have freedom with wisdom. That's way better than just freedom. Freedom with wisdom, because Paul and Silas obviously knew that they needed to stay put. Now, I imagine they were standing up, giving their legs, if they could, giving their legs a little rest, but they didn't leave. Praising God brings freedom with wisdom. Going on to verse 29. The jailer called for lights. That's how we know it was dark in there, because he needed lights to see that they were all still there. And ran to the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Oh my goodness. I need to pause. Because you need to understand, and I need to understand, that if God brings freedom to us, it is about us getting free, but it's also about someone else getting free. And the way we respond to hard times will become a testament to someone who's watching your life that you don't even know they're watching. That doesn't mean you can't be real. That doesn't mean you can't admit how hard it is. That means you keep your focus on God and His greatness in the middle of your mess. That's what you do. That's how to get freedom. Verse 31, they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved along with everyone in your household. And they shared the word of the Lord with him and with all who lived in his household. Even at that hour of the night, the jailer cared for them and washed their wounds. Then he and everyone in his household were immediately baptized. Point C, praising God brings salvation. I've had so many people over the years that I've been the pastor here who they come into the service and hearing the praise coming from the platform does something in their spirit they can't even identify. I remember one lady in particular goes, I don't know why, I don't understand this, but I can't stop crying every time there's a worship song going. I just can't stop crying. And I go, well, I know why. That's your spirit responding to God's spirit and his invitation to say, come closer, come closer. Oh, so yes, praise brings freedom for everyone around us, for us. But oh, sometimes it's also about salvation for someone else who's going through something horrific. Maybe it looks different than what you're going through, but they need to see how you navigate your suffering so that they can have hope that they can navigate theirs and come out free. It's possible. I didn't really plan to share this, but I'm going to anyway. About 19 years ago, when my life became shattered, every part of my life became shattered, I went to this park. Found it kind of by accident, truthfully. And I backed my car into a parking space, which I never do, but I wanted to see the water. And I looked at the water, and I would cry and cry and cry and pray. Probably cried more than I prayed at this park. And I've been to that park probably 50 times in the last 19 years. And I remember, but not in a significant way. It's like, oh yeah, I remember coming here when things were rough. But this week, all my kids, my grandkids, my daughters-in-law, we all met at that park and did family pictures together. And when I was pulling in, it was like, God said, remember parking over there and weeping and weeping and weeping? And look how I'm redeeming this. Look at the redemption. You see, it takes a long time sometime for his redemption to be seen. I would have preferred that redemption to come a week later, not 19 years later. Really. But it was still there, and it was beautiful, and I couldn't stop crying at one point, trying to get pictures, crying. That's not a good look, y'all. But it was sacred and so special to me, because if you can figure out how to bear up under suffering and keep God the main focal point, if you can figure out how to do that, it will change your life and everyone around you, their lives, and it will change your destiny for the future. It will change what happens 19 years from now. It will. It's worth it. It is so worth it. Verse 34, the jailer, he brought them into his house and set a meal before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced because they all believed in God. So because Paul and Silas were willing to praise while suffering, in the middle of suffering, not after the suffering was over, in the middle of the suffering, because they decided to praise, look what happened. The jailer and his entire household came to know God as the one true creator and redeemer of them. Wow. So last point, praising God brings joy. That doesn't mean every time I sing a song, I'm going to walk away feeling slappy happy. It's not what it means. I wish that's what it meant. But again, you can't make the decision to praise to get something. That would be like when my kids were little, or when I was little, and I would go to my mom and I would say, Mom, you're the best mom ever. You are so beautiful and so kind. Her next question would be, what do you want? Right? But how many of us do that with God? We're like, I'm praising. You see how great I'm praising even though I'm suffering? I'm doing a good thing here, God. He's going, what do you want? I think we reduce our relationship to him with something it's not meant to be. See, I praise God because no matter how I feel or how my life ends up, or even if I never have that moment at the park of redemption, He is still God and He is still good. And someday I'll stand in His presence and know the fullness of that. But until I do, I'm going to do it in faith. I'm going to trust that He is always wise, that He is always loving, that He is always kind. He is always, always, even though it seems so extremely opposite of what we're supposed to do, what we feel like doing. Listen, you cannot feel your way into praise. You can't. Now, some days I feel it, and it's fun, right? And some days I don't feel anything until I praise. And I make a decision to praise. These guys know about it. Everybody on the worship team knows. I guarantee you there are some Sundays they don't feel like getting up here and doing what they do. Guaranteed. But they make a decision to, and then fruit comes out of that eventually. So let's look at the summary slide over the last two messages that I've preached. The power of humility, seeing God accurately, seeing myself accurately, submitting to God's ways. That's a big one, submitting to God's ways. Even when you don't understand it, the power of praise. Praising God is a decision. Praising God brings freedom with wisdom. Praising God brings salvation. And praising God brings joy. Now, I can't possibly end this message here. I got to give you a chance to praise. Right? But if you, I have a video to share from Steph Schluter. I don't know if that's how you say his name. But it's called Turn It to Praise. It's been around for a couple years, but he talks about, you'll see what he talks about. But I want to tell you this. If you struggle to praise during this video or during our worship songs, I want you and I encourage you to begin asking Jesus to help you get to know Him. Because if you get to know Him, praise will come out. You don't have to force it. You don't have to manipulate it. It just, when you see how good He is, when you see how amazing He is, it automatically causes you to praise. Ask Him to reveal His love to you. But then, before He does even, make the decision to praise, to focus on His perfect qualities, to give thanks for His consistent and persistent love in your life. So let's stand, because it's easier to praise when you're standing. And cue the video.
You got a history of changing stories. Even when I wrote mine off as done. When I see a mystery before me, I know the battle's won. You already won. So when I'm drowning in these waters, facing lions in the den, I know I will have a testimony of Your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. You take all that the enemy meant to destroy me and turn it to glory. You make beautiful endings to every story. You turn it to glory. And I'll turn it to praise. I'll turn it to praise. I've got a thousand songs too often. Yeah. From every season of my life. So I will.
You can sit for a minute. How many in this room can testify that that's true? Yeah. Raise your hand. Yep. That God takes the worst thing the enemy throws at us and he turns it around and he brings something beautiful out of it. Might take a while. Until you see it, trust him. Trust him and praise from that place. Whew. I didn't plan to do this either, but if you're stuck right now, if you're in a spot where in the emotional world you feel like your legs are actually in stocks, like I described, and you just feel stuck, stand up. We want to pray for you. Is there anybody who needs prayer today? We're not going to ask you to share any details, but if there's anybody in the room that you feel stuck, okay? Stretch your hands towards these sweet people. Lord Jesus, I pray that you will move. I mean, you literally moved heaven and earth to cause that earthquake for Paul and Silas. So there is no limit to what you can do in these people's lives. I pray that you would set them free as they make the decision to praise you until they see their freedom. Lord, pour out your spirit on them like they have never experienced before. Lord, I pray that you would just give them a bath in your liquid love. Give them a bath in your liquid love, Lord. And that they will begin to praise from a place that they've never praised from before. There will be a new depth in your praise that you've never experienced before. And there will be a new freedom in your praise that you've never experienced before. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you. You can be seated. That's beautiful. I love how bold you got, how brave you guys are. I love it. It's just beautiful. Next week, we will start a new series, and I think it flows right in from where we just finished to this. Immerse. Immerse. And Ron's going to kick it off with a message he's calling, Why Dipped? Why Dipped? It's going to be good. So y'all come next week, even though it's a holiday weekend, come anyway. It's a good excuse. You get off Friday, right? So come enjoy Sunday. Chats, coffee, bagels, fruit, puzzles in the foyer. And I want to pronounce this blessing over you. If you have never made a decision to follow Jesus, invite him into your heart and follow him, but you want to, come and see me after church. I would love to pray a prayer of salvation with you. Okay. The Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord show you his kindness. May he have mercy on you. May the Lord watch over you and give you peace. Amen. Have a great week.